Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts, and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed, where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And they were very funny.
Okay.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
So you do three interviews a week.
Consequence Podcast Network. Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the episodes, the series. Please hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists, discover some new ones as well. iTunes and Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, WFPK.org, NPR.org, or of course YouTube for the video versions. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Martin Fry of the band ABC. We're going to be talking about the 40th anniversary of their album, The Lexicon of Love, an album cited by plenty of critics as one of the greatest pop albums of all time. Martin and I are going to get into, he's going to talk about the popularity cycles of an artist, his love of 70s punk bands, especially the Sex Pistols. We'll get into the new documentary as well, the upcoming box set for the Lexicon of Love that compiles and celebrates that record. We're also going to go back to 1997 to revisit the 25th anniversary for the Skyscraping LP. We'll hear about their cover of Radiohead's High and Dry that came out a few years ago, and his appreciation for one of both of our mutual favorite artists of all time, David Bowie, and Bowie's musical characters. But it's mostly about the Lexicon of Love. 40th anniversary, it's Kyle Meredith with ABC.
Greetings from London today.
How is it over there? Yeah.
Yes, all good. Just recovering after the Platinum Jubilee. There was a five-day holiday last week to celebrate 70 years of the Queen, so... London's rocking now. Yeah, people are just kind of nursing the hangovers, I think. Yeah.
5-day holiday. I mean, we'll look for a celebration for anything, but that's not a bad one to have right there. I gotta imagine that was kind of exciting to be around.
Once every 70 years. Yeah.
Cannot wait till the next comet comes by. And that's
exactly.
Well, that's not the only anniversary, is it? We're also talking about 40 years ago, as it were.
Yeah,
this is the 40th anniversary of the Lexicon of Love. You're going to be taking it out on tour. How's this feeling? I mean, obviously it comes to a point, I think somebody said, like you get an album like this, you end up having to celebrate it like every 5 years after a while.
The way I see it is everybody has a birthday someday, don't they? Every single day of the year. So, but since we kind of, ABC formed way back when in the early 80s, 1982. So 4 decades has gone by, believe it or not, since our debut album, The Lexicon of Love. So somebody suggested it would be a good idea to celebrate, yeah. In the UK, we're just starting a tour, an orchestration tour. The band, the Southbank Symphony Orchestra, and Dudley conducting, is quite an extravagant show. When we come to play in North America and surrounding areas, we strip it back to the band. But within the band, I get the chance to play a lot of songs from the Lex Killer Love R album that came out all those years ago, and a whole bunch of other stuff. But on the Lex Killer Love, there was a Look of Love, Poison Arrow, All of My Heart, various songs, yeah. So can you tell me where 10 years goes by? 15 minutes is a long time in the world of rock and roll. So can you tell me where 4 decades has gone?
Right, right. Well, I know it's been well celebrated for that entire 4 decades too. I mean, this is looked at as, geez, one of the greatest albums of all time.
That's very kind of you to say that, but lots of albums have been made. The funny thing is in music though, if you kind of been there for more than 10 minutes, you kind of go in cycles, you know. I remember in the 90s, I reached a point after a pretty busy 1980s, people go, what, are you still here? But then a couple of weeks goes by and they go, you're a legend, you're a national treasure, you know, and you get off. I mean, ask Bruce Springsteen or the Rolling Stones. I'm sure they'd say the same thing.
Now, the 10-year, I've noticed that with a lot of bands, with most bands, the cycles that you're talking about, there is the... The first 10 years, you know, you can have all the success, but once you make it to the 10 year mark, nobody wants you. But if you make it to the 20 year mark, you're great.
Yeah, you get to climb the mountain again and you redevelop your skills. And obviously, in our case, yeah, we had a whole bunch of MTV hits through the 1980s. It goes quiet for a while, but then you get out on the road and do various things. I'm still making new records. Made an album called Lex Gonna Love 2 about 5 years ago. But the emphasis is on getting out there and performing live, I think. If you can stagger along through 10 years, yeah, anybody needs, you know, they deserve a medal for that. Because believe me, when we started, I never thought we'd last more than 45 seconds. You know, getting away with it. Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be interesting, though, because, you know, you're a fan of music.
Yeah.
You know what... When you think of the greatest albums of all time, certain albums will come to mind to you. And to have a large population say that about a piece of art that you've done. I mean, and you've done great albums throughout your career, but when you know, they pinpoint something like that, they're putting you in the same league as the ones maybe that you conjure up. Does that give you a different feeling towards that record itself?
Not really. In a funny kind of way, no, but it's kind of a total honor and it's a great privilege to get on stage, you know, seriously. I'm joking earlier about, you know, just kind of winging it. And kind of chancing my way through 40 years. It is a great honor to stand on stage and for, you know, to be able to sing a song you've written all those years ago and to hear the audience singing it back at you. That's a magical feeling. I mean, for me, a classic album is something like Sly Stone, There's a Riot Going On, or Roxy Music Avalon, maybe, or Ziggy Stardust, or Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. You know, everybody has their own particular favorite. But I think for something to become a classic, it's all about the audience. They decide. Because as soon as you finish a piece of work, it becomes public property, I think. Yeah, definitely. So it's got nothing really to do with me, you know. So I don't kind of sit at home and look at my reflection in the platinum records. I kind of believe that it's a great honor to be able to carry that torch forward, you know. So because of many, many albums have been made through the last 50 years, obviously, or even longer. But it's a wonderful feeling to know that people still remember the music and value it, you know, and a whole new generation comes along and checks out what you're doing. And then we become part of an era, I suppose, you know, you represent, you know, just as Dylan represents the 60s with Blowing in the Wind or something, you know, Duran Duran, ABC represent the kind of 1980s, I suppose, yeah, early 80s, that era of ambition and, unbridled kind of belief in the future, which is very different to now, but a more flamboyant time.
It's interesting thinking about, you know, especially when you were coming out, when you all were developing the sound of ABC, as you're saying that, and in the early 80s, because you, for all look at history, you sort of went against the grain of what was happening right then. I mean, it seemed like there were a lot of people wanting to be trailblazers, which was great, because I don't feel like that happens as much these days. There's a lot more feels like follow the leader happening. But when you came out, you did. It seemed like, was that really as conscious as it seems that you all went the other direction? I mean, you weren't a post-punk band in England at the time when that was so much of a thing.
I love the Sex Pistols and the Clash, Susie and the Banshees, the punk bands. I used to go and see them all, when, you know, as a teenager. Subway Sec, Buzzcocks, you know, new Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers were an incredible band, all these punk bands. But when it came to kind of work your own band and form a band as a younger generation, we kind of wanted to bring in a lot of different things. And in a funny kind of way, in Sheffield, north of England, we'd go and play our set and I'd be wearing my sparkly tuxedo. You know, it was the kind of opposite of the kind of post-punk scene, you know. So you'd wind people up. I've always thought there's a great value in irritating an audience and kind of seeing people kind of flip, you know, and in response. And I've always loved artists like Dylan, you know. What about when Dylan went electric? You know, they say people threw stuff at the stage, you know, how wrong they were. Or for me, I love the New York Dolls or the Velvet Underground, Bowie and Roxy. Those acts came along and people didn't really like them at first, you know, but they were kind of a taste of what the future was about. They were trailblazers, Iggy Pop, someone like that, you know, the Stooges, loads of stuff. And Steely Dan I love. But I kind of like the trailblazers, yeah. And in a way, we've always wanted to kind of sidestep what was going on. You can't just follow a trend. It's not like working in a bank or joining the army when you form a band. You don't have to follow any rules. It's better not to follow any rules, you know. So I think on the one hand, that served me well with ABC. We came along in our gold army suits, our tuxedos, singing our romantic songs to a really punky audience who came around, you know, kind of thought this is the next building block in music. But I think that's every generation's birthright. I think today, as we speak in 2022, there are acts out there that are doing exactly the same thing, you know, facing the flak and moving, you know, creating something that's a little bit different. I think that's really important to try and be original. I still believe that all these years on. However, it sometimes means that those qualities that make you strong are kind of also a bit self-destructive. You know what I mean? You kind of, you know, you build that success up and that following, and you can knock it down again. But we've always tried to make records that were kind of different each time. You know, I mean, someone like Prince was an incredible innovator. You know, he's got his kind of unique style across all of his music, but he'd come along, you never quite knew what to expect next. People don't really work in that way now. You know, it's different. Today, it's all about kind of building the perfect car. It's like you're Elon Musk and you're in a band. You know, they're taking elements and trying to build something musically that works. I hope that makes sense.
It's interesting because, you know, basically what you just said was you did the punk thing. I mean, you went up against punk crowds, yeah, by being exactly what they stood for, against going against the grain against themselves. I know I'm not the first one to say that, but that's so funny when you kind of wrap it around like that.
Seriously, I love John Lydon and Public Image, but the original, when I'd go and see the Pistols, as I say, the Clash, Slaughter and the Dogs, or Buzzcocks in Manchester, all the bands were kind of about that anarchy, that self-freedom, you know, freedom of expression. And it kind of sticks with you all through your life. It's a funny thing, that kind of thing. Yeah. And I kind of thought, well, there's no way I'm going to form a band and try and be like Lydon and Steve Jones and Glenn Matlock and Paul Jones, you know, the Pistols. It would be pointless. Just as in Sheffield, there was a band, Def Leppard were there. They were incredible, you know, before they were, you saw them play bars and stuff. Same with the Human League, who were a very defined sort of electronic synthesizer band. And you kind of knew you had to beat your own rhythm, find your own path. I think I sound like a really old guy giving advice to a young audience, and I hope that's not the case.
I don't think it's coming across like that.
Advice is a complete waste of time. And two, I know nothing.
I haven't seen it yet, but have you watched the new Pistols film yet?
Honey, a friend of mine, Mike Pickering, I met him this morning, and he was saying he'd seen it. We were discussing it this morning. I've not seen it yet, no. But he's pretty good. I mean, Danny Boyle knows how to entertain the public, doesn't he? We like Trainspotting and, you know, countless other movies he's made. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I think everybody likes it so far except Lydon.
There's a Madonna. Yeah, well, Lydon. Well, you know, it's his life. You know, I guess he's every right not to like it.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure. Of course,
you know, he was there. You know, he was there, mate, on it. There's going to be a Madonna biopic. And I want to see the Elvis film. Everybody's talking about this Elvis movie. They say it's really good, so I'm interested. Rocket Man was okay, you know, and kind of the Queen movie, but there is a vogue now for biopics, isn't there, obviously? Who'd have thought that all these years?
Where's the ABC movie? That's where it is. It's the Martin Fry movie.
Yeah, get Sean Bean in. Yeah, yeah. He can play me. He's from Sheffield. Yeah, he's craggy. Right, right. Yeah, get him. He's in Snowpiercer on Netflix, I guess. I hope we're getting the same Netflix that you're getting.
Yep. Yeah.
So maybe he could take a break from Snowpiercer and come and do the ABC story. Yeah. I'm trying to think who else I'd cast, actually. That's quite a daunting idea of who you'd cast.
Who would you cast, right?
It's a movie, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't get the same luxury. No one wants to watch the story about the guy doing Zoom interviews, you know, three, four times a week.
There'll be a script soon, yeah. Your story. Everybody will have a bio. Andy Warhol said everybody will be famous, you know, for the next 15 minutes. Well, I say everybody's going to have a Netflix documentary in the next 15 years. Yeah, yeah, that's my prophecy.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Well, I do want to ask a little bit more about the anniversary and everything. You know, the big singles that you were mentioning, All of My Heart, I think these days, that's the one I go to mostly. That's the one, if I'm just punching in or something on the record, like that's, I don't know what it is. That one sits really still in that great pocket spot for me all these years later. Just what comes to mind with that one? I don't really have a specific question, but I would love to hear about it.
All of My Heart. It was a big tune in the UK and Europe, perhaps less so in America. I don't think it came out as a single, but every band has to have a kind of tearjerker song. You know, when they climb on stage, I guess U2 do one, don't they? That tune and In Excess always had a kind of bit of a tearjerker tune. Every band has the moment. You know, Prince had Purple Rain, didn't he? So we have All of My Heart, which is a kind of bittersweet song. Kind of emotional song. When I played it through the years, I look out into the audience and sometimes people are brushing away a tear. You know, it's kind of their own personal memories. I should say a tear of pleasure, you know, not of pain. But they're kind of like, wow, you know, like they're thinking back to incidents. And it's a wonderful feeling to have an emotional song like that. It started off as a sort of a country and western sort of jam, and then we kind of put an orchestra on top of it. So it's kind of grown in size. But it's quite a sort of romantic song. And I find there aren't that many romantic songs around now, are there? There are some, but it's good to have a romantic song in your set.
Tears of Pleasure. That sounds like an ABC title right there.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Yeah. I've just got the same 12 words that I just kind of regenerate. Yeah. I don't think most acts have, though, don't they? Bruce Springsteen does it, you know.
Oh, sure. Road,
Car, Factory.
Mary.
Why not?
With the 40th anniversary, is there going to be a spotlight on Mantrap as well?
Good question, actually. Yeah, a bit frustrating, really, because as I say, 40 years ago, in 1982, we started out. The label Universal in Europe were putting together the Atmos 5 mix. Stephen Wilson's done an incredible Atmos 5 mix of the Lexicon 11, and we were putting out Mantrap, our film on Blu-ray, and I'm sorry, what was the question there about?
Yeah, is it going to be celebrated as well through all of this, you know, 40th anniversary as well?
Put all this this whole bag of incredible things together, but it's coming out next March, and I said to them, well, you know, that means it's the 41st anniversary, but I've noticed that happens a lot. So yeah, there was a plan to put everything together from that period, yeah. But you know, Lexicon of Love was very popular in Europe and the UK, but less popular in the USA, I think. Mm. Popular, but not, you know, mega, mega. In Europe, it was kind of, it took off. Yeah.
Well, and that's what I was going to get to. Like there's a box set though coming, right? I mean, what all do you expect from the, what all is going to be in the box set?
Blu-ray of Mantrap, a film we made with Julian Temple. Various live recordings, I think, and an Atmos 5 mix, which is you know, where you get the chance to see all the detail, the digital detail of the record, and various things. Yeah, yeah. But unfortunately, it's not out now, so it's out next March.
Right. So 41st anniversary, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 41st. So it means I don't get to retire. I'm gonna stagger along for at least 1 year. Yeah.
You start a new trend, the 41st anniversary trends. To hell with big round numbers.
I'll be honest with you, I'm the kind of guy, I don't really celebrate birthdays. You know what I mean? Some people love to have an enormous party, don't they, each time. But I'm kind of, some people go in the opposite direction. I'm one of those guys, yeah. Go under the radar, so yeah.
I only do it on the big ones. I like the big ones, you know.
Yeah, okay. Anything with a zero after it. Yeah,
sure,
yeah.
Right. This one doesn't have a zero, and I'm going to hit it anyway, and that's 25 years ago, 1997. Skyscraping came out.
Yeah.
Which in itself is a great record as well. It's, you know, as you've already mentioned, every record was a moment for reinvention for ABC, which, you know, as a fan is something that I always loved. When you're in the 90s, when you're in 1997, and we're joking about what the 90s look, I mean, how hard is it to change people's perceptions? And who did you want to be on that record?
With Skyscraping, I got together with Glenn Gregory, a guy from Heaven 17, and a guy called Keith Lowndes. And that record came out. I mean, I realized in the 90s, I'd look around and the landscape was very different. You know, there's a point every artist, every act meets, every band comes to where you're just out of sync with public taste. You know what I mean? And in order to kind of have any longevity, you have to kind of walk through that particular forest and come out the other side, basically. Yeah. And I think you find most artists do that kind of thing. There's a period when it goes cold and then it gets hot again, you know? So it's an interesting time. It really does test your resolve, you know, to when you think you're putting out records and people aren't really listening. But I think everybody goes through that when I look back now. With Skyscraping, I kind of went to my record collection and thought, I love like Pistols, Roxy, Bowie. And it was kind of like on that record, it was just a labor of love. It was the only real time where I've just made a record, completed it, and then taken it into the label. Do you see what I mean? It was just kind of homemade, Skyscraping. But it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I just remember grabbing my mountain bike with Glenn and Keith and just spending a whole summer making that record, yeah. So it's a funny, it's not really, there's a couple of nice songs on there, Light Years and Stranger Things, I guess. So it's kind of nice to drum, you know, grab a couple of those songs and put them in the set now. But that's where Skyscraping came from. Yeah, it was kind of just a labor of love, basically. It's kind of, it's nice now with something like Spotify, where you get a chance to kind of put 9 of your albums up and people get to hear the successes, the commercial successes, the failures, but there's a kind of line through everything which suggests, you know, what we're about. So back then, you put a record out and then walk away from it, but it's kind of nice to have a kind of back catalogue of kind of very mixed music, you know, that's a kind of nice thing to have. Because I've noticed people check out a whole career now, don't they, with every act.
No, as a music nerd, that's the best thing about streaming, as you're right. It levels the playing field of a discography is what it does.
Yeah. I never thought that would happen because back in the day when you make it, it was fiercely competitive. And if your record got to number 3, you go, who's at number 2? You know, you never took time to enjoy it. Ask anyone. That was how it was. Yeah. It was crazy.
If you ever feel like pulling one from that Rolling Sevens, I think I would love to see that one live these days. So just as a fan, that's my request right there. That's
yeah, nice one.
Yeah, and by the way, yeah, you know, it's been a few years now, but your cover of Radiohead's "Creep" was so good. It was so, and it still sounds so good.
A guy got in touch with me. He said, "I'd like some kind of established bands to do covers. Is there a song you'd like to cover?" So we covered Radiohead tune, and he said, "Can you do it in your inimitable style so it sounds like they have covered you years later?" It was a kind of ridiculous concept. So I've always loved, actually, it wasn't Creep, it was High and Dry.
High and Dry, you're right. Yeah.
Don't Leave Me Dry. I've always loved that song. I've always thought there was a lot of depth in, well, Radiohead. The songs do have a lot of depth, but with that particular song, I kind of thought it was all about, you know, sobriety, and there's a lot of and how far you push yourself, and there's a lot of great things in that. So we did a version. The version you're referring to has got all the pizzicatos and every ABC cliche going, but performing that song, yeah. So it was kind of like trying to take that song and take it into a different time, grab a time machine and, you know. So is that one of the few covers I've done actually through the years. Yeah, I've not really covered that many songs. I'm usually, you know, writing them. So I don't know what happened to it. And it's a beautiful melody as well. So, you know. That helps.
As I say, at some point, you know, it seems like a lot of artists, they'll pull out the covers album. Like that's kind of a tradition. Could that be on the horizon for you still? Because if
we don't have one.
What's that?
Well, people dry up, don't they? They can't be bothered to write a new song. And then the record company go, you know, we need something from you. And then the Vanity Project comes over the horizon. You know, you got to be careful with the Vanity Project. I mean, I like Pinups when Bowie did it, and I loved These Foolish Things. Brian Ferry did a cover version of it. But there aren't many occasions where you want to, you know, you don't want to hear McCartney do covers, do you? You know, you just want to hear him do his songs, you know, so there's no doubt of that. Although sometimes it's kind of great for a cover to come from a song from a totally different angle. You know, I kind of like these stripped down cover versions. In fact, I was walking through the shopping mall this morning, Westfield in Shepherd's Bush, north of London, west of London, and somebody done a version of When Doves Cry, and it sounded incredible. I don't know, in a total sort of like an R&B tradition, Prince song. So it's great if you cover something and put it in a different light. Yeah, shine a light on it.
So then the obvious question, if you're not going to do covers, I mean, is there another record on your mind? You've done a sequel to Lexicon of Love. Is there a trilogy? Could you pull that off? Or now do you go in a different direction?
I was going to say it'd be great if Harry Styles covered The Look of Love or something like that. You know, I'm open to people covering our songs, definitely. The Lexicon of Love 2 is an album I made about 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. I mean, at the time I said, you know, I was quite used to kind of watching Breaking Bad, you know, 36 episodes on Netflix or something. The idea of not just being one episode, but kind of how a story unfolds. And I started thinking, what would it be like if Ziggy Stardust had a sort of follow-up? You know, it'll never happen. Or, you know, if you took... you know, if you went to season 2 with certain records, it would be fascinating. So that's what set me off with the Lexicon of Love 2. Yeah, is that it's quite an orchestrated album. Maybe I don't know if I'd call it Lex 3, but I'd definitely be interested in writing quite emotional songs. Yeah, in the context of kind of dramatic orchestration and stuff. Yeah. With that record, everything was big. You know, the drums didn't want to sound like that. They wanted to sound like that. You know, it was all about scale. So I think it would be fun to make a record like that, but it's not really what present day tastes are about, really. But so maybe it's a good time to do it. Yeah.
See, here we are all the way back to that. You go against present day.
Larger than life, exaggerated musically. Yeah. Yeah. That would work for me.
That's interesting. You know, we've referenced Ziggy Stardust twice in this one.
I've walked down Regent Street as well this morning. Oh, wow. Where Barry, that photograph. That's a painting, isn't it, of a photograph. Yeah.
Let's say we didn't get the sequel to that, but we got like the whole story of Major Tom for the most part. So
yeah. I always liked the way Bowie kept sort of jumping back to his characters. And in a way, Thomas Jerome Newton was Ziggy Stardust, you know, the Man Who Fell to Earth character that seemed to write songs about in later life, you know, seemed to kind of tie in with all of that. Yeah.
All the way to Black Star.
Nothing. Yeah, with Black Star. Beautiful record.
That's a great way to tie that character up. I love it. I love it when artists do that. I mean, that's, you know, fan dream right there when you get kind of that through line.
So the cast of characters is there, and they with anybody, and they kind of drift in and out. Yeah, I think that's true of life too. It's like your friends. You run into friends you've not seen for years, and you know, it's great. Instantly, you kind of, you know, just hanging out.
Whatever you do next, I'm going to be listening. I'm going to be watching.
Well, thanks, pal. That's kind of you to say that.
Now, Martin, it's such an honor to talk to you too. Congratulations. Congratulations on 40 years of being a trendsetter and everything that you've done.
I cannot believe you're talking to me. 40 years. It's like starting over. Yeah. But yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
And I hope you have fun out on the tour. We'll be seeing you on the stateside.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
My thanks, Martin Fry, ABC, 40th anniversary of the Lexicon of Love, and touring throughout this year as well. Big thanks to Martin. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode and the series. Again, please do hit that subscribe button. 3 new interviews every week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them, at Kyle Meredith. Do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Yeah, so I saw a couple of shows, Thin White Duke tour, I saw Station to Station tour. It was incredible. But guys who are slightly older than me talk about the time they saw Ziggy Stardust and all this stuff. You know, it's kind of nuts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.